time showing it's 5 o'clock, so let's go ahead and get started. As a reminder, please place your phones on mute until you are presenting or asked to speak. And meeting logistics. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order 2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comments for prior consideration to board members. Comments can be submitted to publiccomments@crescentvalley2.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. And opening items. I will call this meeting of Crescent Valley Public Charter School 2 regular board meeting, operated by Desert Sands Public Charter Incorporated, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Monday, August 23rd, 2021, to order. And we will start with the roll call. Michael Adams is here. Ruth Newell.
Bruce Newell here.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith here.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark here.
James Lott.
James Lott here.
We are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for the meeting. Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask James Lott to please lead us in the pledge, and everyone else, please place your phones on mute.
My pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lott. And staff introductions, corporate officers.
Yes, good evening, Mr. President. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Hello, this is Jerry Vinson, Corporate Officer.
Thank you, Jerry. And school staff.
Good evening, this is Shelley Haynes, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Shelley.
Good evening.
Lindsay Bond, Principal.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Rafael Aguilar, Director of State Federal Programs.
Thank you.
Jenny Boone, Learning Center Coordinator.
Thank you.
And this is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Thank you, Jeff. And School Legal Counsel.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Legal Counsel.
Thank you. And any advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting today?
Hi, this is Kika Clarice, CFO with Lifelong Learning Administration Corp.
Thank you, Gita.
Hi, Pete Raja, CEO of Lifelong Learning.
Thank you, Pete.
Hi, this is Michelle Lopez, Counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. May I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the August 23rd, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
So moved, Ruth Newell.
Thank you, Ruth.
Second, Dana Clark.
Thank you, Dana. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
And James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item F. May I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the June 1st, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Marvin Smith, so moved.
Thank you, Marvin.
James Lott, second.
Thank you, James. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Bruce Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
And James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item G. May I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the July 26th 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
So moved, Ruth Newell.
Thank you, Ruth.
I have James Locke.
Thank you, James. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have one item on the consent agenda. The board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction and addendum to the school's health and safety plan. Do any board members want to pull this item for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Marvin Smith, so moved.
Thank you, Marvin.
Second, James.
Thank you, James. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments presented to the board?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments.
Thank you, Shelley. Item 4, school reports and information. Item A, principal update. That's Lindsay Boggs.
Good evening, board. This is Lindsay Boggs. Our current enrollment at DVPC2 right now is 483 students. Our staff is doing a wonderful job getting our students back on campus. Last year, I can happily report that we had a 92% graduation rate, and we tested 95% of our students in LPAC. We have a total of 73 EL students, so we're working hard to get those students reclassified. We're beginning our NWEA assessment test and trying to increase our enrollment in our literacy and our math 180, our intervention classes. Our dual enrollment program is continuing to succeed. We have 20 students enrolled in the first 2 classes of dual enrollment with West Hills College, with 3 more classes beginning this semester. The classes include personal health and hygiene, college success, career exploration, introduction to business, child development. Really enjoying those classes. And another great success, we heard from our WASC chair and committee, and we were awarded or given the 6-year recommendation. So we're really happy about that. Our coordinator, Ashley Taylor, did a phenomenal job organizing the report, placing staff on teams, and leading that visit. So we also thank the board for participating and meeting with our WASC committee. And then we look forward to our business cycle review with our one-day visit. So we're excited about that and we're starting to prepare. We're also really excited. We were able to hire an an English learner paraprofessional who will help support our EL population and our literacy program, and also a social work intern starting on August 30th through Fresno Pacific University. We had a successful learning period one with a 98% ADA, and we're starting math SGIs to help our students with algebra. And we have quite a few students already signed up for that class. We recently had a back-to-school night that was very fun. It was a luau or Hawaiian theme, and we had over 50 parents and students attend. And they got to meet with teachers, counselors, and other community organizations. We had CSED there and the Visalia Police Department Explorers Unit. So we're looking forward to a successful year, and we thank you for your support. And that concludes my report, if anyone has any questions for me.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
That was great, Lindsay. Thanks. Thank you.
Item B, Annual Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation, LLAC, Services Report, Shelley Haynes.
Thank you very much. Good evening, board members. For your reference, we'll be referring to the 2020-2021 annual report that you each received via FedEx. As you know, Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation, or LLAC, is our partner organization and service provider. I would like to welcome Pete Baraja, our Chief Executive Officer from Lifelong Learning, to share highlights of products, services, and support that are provided to our schools. Pete?
Thanks, Shelley. Yes, good evening, board, and again, thank you for the opportunity to provide some time for me to share some highlights of Lifelong Learning's year and the support and services provided to the school. As Shelley referenced, you do have our written annual report in front of you that digs deeper or dives a little deeper into some data and metrics that aligns to our priorities. Again, our priorities for lifelong learning are always around how can we continue to improve our level of service and support for the schools. I'm going to highlight a few things today. First, I'd like to share, everyone's aware of the challenges, the barriers, the obstacles that we've all faced over the last 18 months. I do believe that those challenges and obstacles has made us stronger. As an organization, it's forced us to focus in specific areas, and I think there were a lot of lessons learned, a few of which I'll share towards the end of the presentation today. As you know, we transitioned, all of our students and staff from on-site instruction to a distance learning model, not only at the school level, but simultaneously, Lifelong Learning's employees all went to a remote work environment. Even with that challenge, I think we didn't miss a beat in terms of services and support. Now I want to highlight just a few of the departments and some high level summary. I want to start with our education department. As you can imagine, as we move from a one-on-one instruction insight model to a distance learning model, there was a lot of work during that transition on our education team, who I believe did a great job in collaboration with our schools and our school leadership, various superintendents, with the development of instructional videos, additional tools and resources around Google Hangouts, private YouTube channel, different student teacher communication models, all while ensuring that we maintain that one-on-one instruction, that personalized learning that is kind of the foundation of what we do. In addition, small group instruction, tutoring, counseling, and continuing to provide support for our special needs students. Education department, I think, did a phenomenal job. collaboration between Lifelong Learning and our partner in our schools, because it was critical as information was constantly changing. We wanted to ensure consistent messaging, wanted to ensure that accurate information was getting out, not only internally to our employees and our students and parents, but externally to our community partners, so that everyone had an awareness of what we were doing. You know, with that, we created and developed a work from home internet portal. We were doing regular communication updates throughout the last 18 months, and I think that was really an area that I feel, and again, I hope, you know, Shelly and the area soups and the school leadership would reiterate that I think that the level of collaboration, communication, and that relationship, I think, was really strengthened and made even stronger throughout the last 18 months, which I think puts us in a great position moving forward. Because if there's one constant in the work we do, it's change. And this, you know, the next 18 months, I think, are going to have, again, more challenges, but I think even greater opportunity for us. In terms of our external affairs, as everything was going on with the pandemic, you know, the anti-charter attacks, audits, the moratorium on charter schools, you know, our external affairs team did a phenomenal job paying close attention to legislation and efforts to try to hinder what we do and the services that we provide for kids and communities. I think you were aware over the last 18 months there were several pieces of legislation that were focused on trying to limit our ability to serve students. And really, we're hindering the equity for kids and inequality for kids. The most recent one was AB 1316, which was really a direct attack on personalized learning, non-classroom-based schools. And I would like to share that in collaboration with our external affairs team and our regional and school leadership, that we defeated that bill, which was a great win for us. Although we know we have a lot of work ahead, and we're being super proactive in terms of paying attention to what could come out in the next legislative session, and making sure we get out ahead of that. So really, really excited about the work in the external affairs. It's only getting more complicated, but I think we have the right team in place and the right relationships and partnerships and campaigns and communication efforts out there to put us in a good position as we move into the legislative session come January. Moving on, you know, I want to kind of lump, even though each of these departments had a full plate, when you look at our human resources, our facilities, our safety departments, the work that went into monitoring, you know, all the ordinances and mandates and constantly changing information, all with a focus on making sure that we were providing our students and our staff with safe environments. You know, that went from, you know, the facilities team and all the work they did to prepare for reopening, as well as development of reopening plans and procedures and processes for the schools. Big lift by those groups, tremendous job by our HR and our facilities and our safety departments. Let me shift a little bit to charter affairs and Office of School Governance. You know, just as the students and staff and Lifelong Learning transitioned to remote work during the pandemic, you know, our boards all had to live in a new world of telephonic board meetings and the distribution of information and communications. And that was a huge logistical challenge, and I think our charter affairs group and school governance group did a phenomenal job with all of that. And on top of that, you know, the daily priorities didn't change, you know, in terms of, you know, the support and service around charter petition renewals and material revisions and MOU agreements with our school partners, audits, just our day-to-day work we go through. They didn't miss a beat on any of that and continue to be super proactive in terms of making sure we were transparent, we were compliant, that we had great processes and procedures in place to continue to support the schools and our boards. Technology is a big one, as you can imagine, as we move from our traditional model of personalized learning to distance learning, the level of technology services, resources, and tools increased dramatically in terms of deploying laptops and hotspots, all the way to the level of support and help desk tickets that were required because of the increase in technology. And that was an area where we had a lot of lifelong learning team members and other departments that jumped in and kind of helped fill gaps to make sure that we could be as responsive and proactive as we could to provide and meet the needs of our schools and our students and our staff. Finally, in terms of finance, just as all these new mandates and pieces of legislation were being focused on by our other divisions, there was a huge impact to finance in terms of monitoring deferrals from the state and making sure we were in really solid cash positions. Monitoring the fact that they put a cap on our enrollment and our growth to the charter moratorium. Finance did if there's a department that I think really set some good structures and processes, finance worked really well with our regional leadership and school leadership to meet those needs. So I'm thankful for Gita and her team. And I know you'll hear a little bit from Gita later today on some of the specifics. And lastly, what I'll share, I think even more important than when we talk about lessons learned, is I really feel the level of collaboration, the level of communication, and the relationship between lifelong learning and the schools and the leadership and our partners were strengthened through these challenges. I'm proud of the work that's been done. And just as I'm here to share, LLAC, I think it's very important to recognize the tireless work, the effort, the flexibility, the commitment from Shelly and her leadership team and the school staff working through these last 18 months. Because, regardless of the level of service or support, the products, without Shelly and her team on the ground, committing countless hours and being super flexible, understanding that we had to pivot quickly in several areas, it would have been even a bigger challenge. So I just want to, publicly recognize and thank Shelly and the regional team for all the work that went in these last 18 months and the work that's ahead of us. And lastly, I appreciate the opportunity the board has provided to be able to share today. I'm thankful for your trust. I look forward to the continued relationship and the continued work ahead. I think we're all here for the same reason, and this is a mission and purpose-driven organization, and we're here to do what's right for kids and communities. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, finance update and budget overview for school year 2021-2022, and that's Gita Shreve.
Thank you, President Adam. This is Gita with LLAC. So I have only two items on the agenda for the finance update on school behalf. There's the financial reporting calendar I'd like to go over, as well as one other item. So if you refer to page 63 of your PDF packet, there's a 2021-2022 financial reporting calendar that starts with the annual budget that board has already approved in June board meeting. So we wanted to just provide all the important items that are finance related to the board. And so annual budget goes through review of area soup with the controller, the school staff, you know, things that they need for running the programs and meeting the needs of our students. So we support in that. So that budget was approved in June. Then the next item is the adopted LCAP, which is it is prepared by the area soup and their team, and there's also a finance component to that, which is the budget for the LCAP and finance supports in that. So that was also approved by the board in June. Today's agenda has unaudited actuals, which is the next thing on this calendar that goes to August 4th meeting approval, which is today again, and I will go over that when we get to that in the agenda. The next thing is the audit report, which is a third-party auditor. At this time, it's still due on December 15th, but we're hearing that it might be extended, not officially yet, but if that date changes, we'll report that to the board. Taking along with that is the first interim report that's also due on December 15th. And then there's an ADA report that reports the P1 ADA. And then the other item is the second interim report that is the operation of the school from July through January 31st of the year. That also comes to the board in March meeting. And the other item is the ADA report that's on due on April 15th, 2022. That's the second principal apportionment, which is based on P2 ADA. That is the number that we know at that time. And then the Form 990, which is the corporation nonprofit tax return, and that's the final item on the calendar. So these are just the major items that we wanted to bring to the attention of the board that are important deadlines to meet for the school. The other item I wanted to also mention, was happy to say that LLAC has reduced the interest rate that it charges on the promissory note that the board had previously approved at 4%, down to 3.25%. So that is LLAC's promissory note is only used for any short-term borrowing that the school needs. So at this time, the rate for that is 3.25, which is much lower than the Hami line of credit at this time is at 3.75%. So I just wanted to bring that to the board's attention. And that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, annual board training announcement. Shelley Haynes.
Thank you, President Adams and board members. I'd just like to take this opportunity to provide an update on the annual training for charter school board members and leaders on the Brown Act and conflict of interest laws. The upcoming annual fall 2021 training will be presented by Young, Mini, and Core, and you will be provided several dates and times to choose from. The topics that will be covered are extensive Brown Act training, compliance with SB 126, virtual conferencing tips during the pandemic, conflict of interest laws, including Political Reform Act, Corporation Code, Government Code, Sections 1090, and the appearance of impropriety, and then also what you need to know in filling out your Form 700. So stay tuned for those dates and times that will be coming your way soon. We'll get them out to you as soon as we have them. And that's all for my update. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, public hearing. I'm requesting a motion to open the public hearing.
So moved, Ruth Newell.
Thank you, Ruth.
Second, James Law.
Thank you, James. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. The board will now hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the revised budget overview or parents for the 2021-2022 school year. The public hearing is now open at 5:30 p.m. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation on the revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-2022 school year from Shelley Haynes, Area Superintendent.
Thank you again. I would like to provide an update on the revised budget overview for parents. Due to an error of including both non-contributing and contributing expenses from the 2021 Learning Continuity Plan in the calculation of expenditures for increased or improved services for high-need students in the 2021 school year, is previously approved in the previously approved budget overview for parents, and the need to include an updated narrative indicating the budget expenditures in the LCAP. I am seeking board approval on a revised 21-22 budget overview for parents. The revised budget overview for parents can be found in your board packet from pages 67 to 70. And then as a reminder, the budget overview for parents, I'm going to call it the BOP. The budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that the school directed its funds towards increasing or improving services and meeting the needs of the school community, while also directing funds for its high-need students, such as low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and our homeless students. The BOP includes information on local control funding formula revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, state funds, and Federal CARES Act funds. The 21-22 BOP was approved by the board on June 1st, 2021, following a public hearing. For the revised 21-22 BOP presented to you this afternoon, please refer to the section titled LCFF Budget Overview for Parents. The updated narrative reads, our independent study program implements a personalized learning experience for all students, including English learners, low-income foster youth, and special education students that is carefully designed to address their unique academic and social-emotional needs. To serve our at-promised and highly mobile population, expenditures are budgeted for, but not limited to, teachers, staff and salaries, and budget and benefits, student interventions, curriculum development, professional development, materials, hardware, and software, but does not include, but not included in the LCAP, are things like audit fees and legal expenses. The final revised changes to the BOP can be found on the last chart titled Update on Increased or Improved Services for High-Need Students in 2021. There's a change to the dollar amount for the bullet titled Total Budget Expenditures for High-Need Students in the Learning Continuity Plan. The previous amount was $245,740. The revised amount is $240,740. Per instructions from the CDE, the revised amount excludes non-contributing expenses as found on the LCP. And then finally, there's a change to the dollar amount for the bulleted title Actual Expenditures for High-Need Students in the Learning Continuity Plan. The previous amount was $248,168, and the newly revised amount is $237,871. And then also per CDE guidance, the revised amount excludes those non-contributing expenses previously mentioned on the Learning Continuity Plan. Once the revised BOP is approved by the board, it will then be sent to the appropriate agencies as required, and it will also be posted on our school website. That concludes my presentation for the revised 21-22 budget overview for parents. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-2022 school year. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment at this time? Hearing none, the Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board?
Hi, this is Shelley Sams, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment.
Thank you. In that case, I will request a motion to close the public hearing.
James Lott.
Thank you, James.
Marvin Smith, second.
Thank you, Marvin. Any other comments? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell. Ruth? Ruth? Ruth Newell, are you still on the line? Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
And once more, Ruth Newell. I guess she must have dropped off, so that passes with 4 yes votes and 1 absent. And this public hearing is now closed as of 5:36 p.m. We'll move on to action items. 6A, the board will be asked to review and approve the revised budget overview for parents for the 2021-2022 school year. That's Shelley Haynes.
Thank you again. And just to recap from the public hearing, we have made changes to the previously approved budget overview for parents to revise contributing and non-contributing expenses found in the 2021 learning continuity plan. And if there are no further questions, I am asking for the board's approval on the revised budget overview for parents. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6A.
So moved, Ruth Newell.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Ruth. I'm sorry, I didn't hear a second.
James Lott, second.
Thank you, James. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve the unaudited actuals for the 2020-2021 school year. That's Gita Shrifty.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. This is Gita with LLAC. So if you refer to page 72 of your PDF packet, you can find the actual Form 62 for the unaudited actuals there. So the report is the last financial report of the year. It provides summary of how the school has performed financially through fiscal year 2021. The report includes a summary of the statement of revenue and expenditures and the net position of the school. The report also includes information about school's assets and liabilities on pages 3 and 4 of Form 62. And information about average daily attendance that was the base for the funding in 2021 and the estimated ABA projection for 21-22 that were used as base for developing current year's budget. Some highlights in 2021, the school had a funding P2 ABA of 528. This funding ABA provided a final year end total revenue of $7.5 million. This revenue was $303,000 higher than the projected revenue presented at the board meeting in June. This noticeable difference is primarily due to the recognition of $272,000 of revenue from expanded opportunity grant that was originally planned to be recorded in the following fiscal year. That's included in line 8A3. These restricted funds that are state funding were not spent in 2021. However, CDE guidelines require that the school record the revenue in 2021, however, restrict the funds. This will cause an increase of equal amount in the excess revenue over expenditures in fiscal year 2021. The increase in total revenue
was also caused by a slight increase in revenue from lottery funds. On the expenditure side, the school ended the year with total expenditures of $7.1 million. This is $76,000 higher than the prior projection. This small increase comes from a combination of small increase in benefits, training, and professional services, and a small decrease in communication. However, most spending areas remain consistent with prior projections. Overall, the school had an excess revenue of $681,000, which is $227,000 higher than the previously projected. This increase comes primarily from the recording of the unspent state ELO revenue, as we discussed before. With this excess revenue, the school ended up fiscal year 2021 with a reserve of $2 million, which is 29% of the total annual expenditures. Of this fund balance, $272,000 is restricted and comes from the unspent ELO fund. These funds will be spent in fiscal year 21-22. As I mentioned before, the unaudited actuals also report balance sheet information to show the school's year-end assets and liabilities. Those are on pages 3 and 4 of the report. This year, there are items that are unusual on the report. The assets section, if you refer to the assets section, the school shows a large amount of for the amount of $2.4 million in the accounts receivable. That's line G3. This is due to the deferral of the state principal apportionment for the months of February through June. These deferrals were originally going to be paid between July to November of 2021. However, with the revision to the state budget, all deferrals are being paid on an accelerated schedule by the end of month of August. This is great news to the school cash flow planning, as it will reduce or eliminate the need to borrow during these coming months, which will reduce the debt service cost to the school. You will see another unusual item in the liability section of the report on Form 62. That's I-4. This amount is $645,000, and it's PPP loan that the school has received in May of 2020. That is recorded as a liability as of June 30th. After submission of the application for forgiveness, the school received approval for forgiveness for the full amount of the loan on August 6th of this year. And consequently, the school will recognize the amount forgiven as revenue in the fiscal year 21-22 and will report the revenue in the future interim reports that you receive. The only thing I'd like to note is that this form is Form 62 through it's a CDE form, and the CDE website has an error when we're trying to upload it into the SAC form. So this form might be changed to an alternative form, which is exactly the same numbers, information, except if this form is not accepted by the time the report is due, we will report this to the authorizer in the alternative form. So that concludes my report. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing now, your motion to approve action item 6B.
Marvin Smith, so moved.
Thank you, Marvin.
Dana Clark, second.
Thank you, Dana. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item C. The board will be asked to approve the revised June 30th, 2020 annual audit report for the school, and that's being presented by Wilkinson Hadley.
Yes, I do want to introduce Brian Hadley, our senior auditor and our independent auditor. Brian, would you go ahead?
This is Brian Hadley. I'm a partner with Wilkinson Hadley Company, the CPA from the June 30, 2020 audit. this update in the audit report or this revision in the audit report does not change the fund balance. It does not change any of the numbers that are reported on the return. It simply updates the relationship between the school and some of the vendor. It does not change the opinion. The auditor's opinion still remains as a unmodified opinion, which means that the financial statements barely present the financial position of the school at June 30, 2020, without any modification. And so, in short and in summary, the audit report the only changes that were made to the report update the relationship between the school and some of the vendors. The fund balance did not change, and the opinion did not change. And so, unless the board has any additional questions, that concludes the presentation that I have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6C?
James Lott, vote to approve item 6C.
Thank you, James.
Dana Clark, second.
Thank you, Dana. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item D. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual, and that's Gita Shrika.
Thank you. This is Gita with LLAC. So if you refer to pages, I think it starts on page 126 of your PDF packet. There are some revisions to the accounting manual that was previously reviewed and discussed with area superintendents. One is the donation process, and it's all redlined, so you'll see what changes have been recommended. The donation process was discussed. It was distributed by areas to the school staff, and they're well aware of this this protocol. It's just that we wanted to tighten the protocol and make sure that any checks or any money in any form coming to the school is deposited into the school fund, into the school bank account, and that way it is treated as public funds, and then the school must obey by the guidelines of the public fund. So that was just a section that is already being practiced by the school. It just was not documented or inserted into the accounting manual. So that was added. We also recommended to include the contract approval process. So that's on pages 93 to 94 of the accounting manual. So this section was added. It's a summary of the protocols following state and federal guidelines for signing an agreement with with a vendor or a contractor or a subcontractor or consultant. So all of these processes are part of the procurement process of LLAC, and the school also follows that because LLAC supports the school. So we just wanted to add that into the accounting manual to ensure that the school has this documented and supports that the school does follow the guidelines for federal and state. Those are just the limitations for the different protocols that you must follow. For example, if the limitations are beyond a certain dollar amount, you have to get pre-bid from different vendors, or you have to go through a request for proposal, a process. So all of that is followed by the school, and we wanted that to be documented. There was also another section added in reference to the signatures for approvals, and there are times that the area superintendents have come to see where either they're not available or they want to assign another
you know, principal or another assistant principal to approve the invoices, and they want to be able to designate that position or that person to do that. So that was also added in that section as a recommendation. So that concludes my section, and if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6D.
Dana Clark, so move.
Thank you, Dana.
Marvin Smith, second.
Thank you, Marvin. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams, aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item E. The board will be asked to approve the Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool for the 2021-2022 school year. That's Jeff Marco.
Good evening, President Adams and board members. On pages 131 to 141 of the board packet, you will find the Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool for your consideration of use for the 2021-2022 school year. The attached evaluation tool and rubric is the updated version of the proposed 2021-2022 evaluation tool presented to you at the first read at the April board meeting. The changes include new rubric column titles to reflect language more appropriate for a performance evaluation and an easier-to-use comment section for both area superintendent input and board input. As indicated in the area superintendent evaluation policy and procedures, the attached evaluation tool will serve as the specific written instrument to be used in evaluating the area superintendent for the 2021-2022 school year, which will be completed by the board in a closed session to take place in late spring 2022. Prior to the completion of this year's evaluation, the board will receive an area superintendent board report indicating charter goals for the current year, along with the metrics that will be used to measure progress towards meeting those goals. This report will be provided to each board member prior to the October 2021 board meeting. A closed session will be scheduled on the October agenda to discuss the board report and its goals. Progress towards these goals will be shared with the board throughout the year prior to the final evaluation in late spring 2022. As indicated at the April board meeting, the area superintendent evaluation tool is comprised of 4 focused areas of performance. Focused area 1, governance and board relations. Focused area 2, family and community relations. Focused area 3, business and finance. And focused area 4, instructional leadership. These 4 areas help drive school improvement and student achievement, develops a positive relationship between the board and area superintendent, demonstrates accomplishments of the charter, and sets annual priorities. At this time, it is recommended that the attached version of the Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool be approved for use in evaluating the Area Superintendent for the 2021-2022 school year. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6E.
So moved, Ruth Newell.
Thank you, Ruth.
James Law.
Thank you, James. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Aye.
James Lott.
James Lott, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes. Item F. The board will be asked to approve the Declaration of Need, DON, forms as a prerequisite to the issuance of an emergency permit and or limited assignment permit for teachers at the school for the 2021-2022 school year per California Code of Regulations, Section 80026. Shelley Haynes.
Thank you again. Annually, we are required to submit a Declaration of Need document for fully qualified educators to the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing. The Declaration of Need, or DON, is valid for no more than 12 months, and it expires on June 30th, following its submission to the commission. The declaration of need for fully qualified educators will be submitted to the commission and includes the following information. The estimated need for emergency or limited assignment staff, the documented efforts to recruit fully credentialed staff, and finally, it must identify training options for emergency staff support and training that may include internal training, partnerships with county offices of education, and internship programs and partners. This request is a standard and routine practice, and I am recommending that the board approve the submission of the declaration of need to the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6F?
So moved, Ruth Newell.
Thank you, Ruth.
Second, James Locke.
Thank you, James. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Locke.
James Locke, aye.
Thank you. That passes with 5 yes votes. And moving on to item 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
President Adams, thank you. I would like to congratulate Superintendent Shelley Sands and her staff. 90% graduation rate is great, and holding that ADA and increasing is just good, hard work. The dual enrollment program is growing. That's also exciting, giving these students opportunities to become familiar with the local education programs. 6-year WAS, congratulations. That's really exciting. And back to school nights, 60 parents. That's wonderful. That also gives them an opportunity to get back to the program of our schools. I want to thank the board for all their patience through this long period of time where we haven't really had the opportunity, and yet you've managed to hold up and continue doing the good work, and that's wonderful. LLAC, their annual report on their service, outstanding. CEO Faraz and his group over there doing a marvelous job keeping this whole thing going, fighting for the students and for the Learn for Life. Lifelong learning, working to learn for life, just outstanding. So congratulations, all of you. I'll turn it back to you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any other corporate officers or board members' observations and comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 8, closing items. Next board meeting is tentatively scheduled for October 11th at 5:15 p.m., but again, I've asked Shelley to explore another date for that. And if there are no other comments, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved, Ruth. Well,
thank you, Ruth.
Dana Clark, second.
Thank you, Dana. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell, aye.
Marvin Smith.
Marvin Smith, aye.
Dana Clark.
Dana Clark, aye.
James Locke.
James Locke, aye.
That passes with 5 yes votes, and we are adjourned. Thank you very much.